You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can listen to us on all of our great ESPN Radio stations all across the country, as well as Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN2. Watch us there, ESPNU, and the ESPN app. Along with Michelle Smallman, the humble bragger Chris Canty, I am Evan Cohen. Oh, yeah, I went there right off the bat.
Off the top.
Oh, my God. Canty tried to tell us a story this morning. He's like, you know, in high school,
This is a true story, by the way, Smalls.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
There's a sign up when you go to high school. One in every 500,000 kids make it to the league and to the NFL. And he's like, I never thought I had a chance. I was never going to make it to the NFL. And we're all looking at him. It's like, you know you did, right? And you won a Super Bowl. And we're all like looking at him like, really, Chris, you're going to go there? And he goes to Javonte, who is one of our great producers, does all the technical stuff here. He goes, was that a humble brag? And Javonte looks at him, and this is coming off of Javonte taking a free bag of food home from a dinner last night, by the way. I want to point that out.
Shrimp it was candy. For a good cause.
His girlfriend. We had a big dinner. He takes the doggy bag home, and he looks at Canty. He goes, yeah, that's a humble brag.
But you're not giving the proper context, though.
No,
you're
I did
not
what
telling
I needed
the entire
to do.
Story. See, he always wants to make his out as if I'm the bad guy. What actually happened was the mentality, like, everybody doesn't have the mentality that they're going to try to make it to the league, except Chris Canty probably had that mentality because he played over a decade in the league. And that wasn't the case. I never thought I was going to college as a stepping stone to get to the NFL. I was 230 pounds when I got to college, Smallman.
Really?
I was 230 pounds. Like, there's no way that 230 pounds in freshman year equals going to the NFL. Just don't happen.
You did make it. You know that, right?
And
I know.
Won.
I know what happened. I know what happened. Okay, cool.
Are we cool, by the way? So we had a big dinner last night. Well, you guys did. I was at another table. Nobody reserved a seat for me. But the two of you had a nice dinner, to which I said to somebody, how was the dinner that was at your table? They're like, they have great takes on animals. I said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
supposedly,
yeah.
Your dinner was breaking down animals last night?
Yeah, so Canty and I have both been on a safari, another humble brag. And we were talking about how amazing of an experience it was. We were kind of going over the checklist, cross-referencing all of the animals that we had seen. And we started talking about a hippo, how hippos look so cute and cuddly, but they're actually vicious beasts. They're killing machines. So then I said to Canty, what's the NFL comp of a hippo? Who in the NFL is a hippo?
Oh, that's Haloti Ngata, my former teammate.
Haloti Ngata.
I mean, this is the guy that knocked the career out of RG3, and then he broke Ben Roethlisberger's face mask. How could it not be Haloti Ngata?
So that is what somebody told me. They're like, you have no idea. These two were breaking down hippos, and within 4 seconds, Canty had the immediate comp that Haloti Ngata is like a hippo in the safari.
Yeah, because people get it twisted. Hippos.
Great defensive lineman for the Ravens back in the day,
hippos
by the way.
Are cool animals, but hippos are more responsible for deaths in the wild than any of the other big five. So they're real killers out there. Just like on a football field with Haloti Ngata.
That's
a real killer out there.
Great comp.
So it seems like it was just the right comp for Haloti.
I got to be honest. I don't know what the big five is. Those are the schools in Philadelphia?
No, the big, hear this guy. The big fives, the Cape Buffalo, the white rhino, the lion, the leopard, and I'm forgetting one. Is it the elephant?
Probably.
Yeah, I think it's the elephant. Yeah, those are the big
that's
five.
Like a known thing. People, when you hear big
is that
five,
the big five,
that's what I literally thought Temple, Drexel, Villanova. That's what I thought.
So it's a lion, a leopard, a rhino, an elephant, and an African buffalo. That's the
yeah,
big
Cape
five.
Buffalo, yeah.
That's a common thing. People know that?
Did you guys
well,
know that?
Well, people that go on a safari know that, Evan.
Oh,
clearly,
humble,
you haven't
humble.
Been on one.
Oh,
clearly, you haven't been
okay.
on one.
Correct. I have not.
Yeah, okay.
So then the dinner expanded into us doing NFL comps for every animal that we saw on safari.
Yeah.
I asked CeCe, who is the lion?
That's Aaron Donald.
And we came
He's
up with
the
Aaron
king
Donald.
Of the jungle.
Yeah. Why? Okay, because that's king of the jungle. That's
yeah.
the, okay, got it.
He's the king
got
of the jungle.
It.
Apex
yeah.
predator.
No doubt.
Yeah. How do we feel, by the way, about Javonte? So this is a dinner ESPN set up. Everybody's there. It was a great dinner. We got to meet so many of our teammates. And as we're leaving, I see Javonte has like a doggy bag. And he had shrimp scampi in the doggy bag. When you don't pay for the dinner, can you bring home the doggy bag from like a work dinner? Is that because I think he ordered an extra meal for his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Listen, unlike what Javonte did to me earlier, I will actually have his back and say that it's acceptable. I remember my rookie dinner in Dallas when my draft class took the entire defense out for dinner. Guys were ordering bottles of wine to take home. They were ordering dinners and desserts to take to their wives and children. That was a perfectly acceptable practice. And because that was what I was indoctrinated in, I'm going to go ahead and co-sign on Javonte's behavior. I got your back, dog, even though you don't have mine. It's cool, though.
I mean, I was just telling the truth about your humble brag. You know,
it wasn't a humble brag.
I appreciate you supporting me,
we were talking about the mentality of players that get to the league, and I just didn't have that mentality.
Wait a second. So you're saying if you go to a company dinner, so everybody out there hopefully is working, God willing, you're all working for some company. You have a big company dinner. You order your dinner for yourself. You order a second dinner to go for your significant other. That's okay.
Yes, it's on the company.
Smalls is looking at me like, no.
It's on the company.
Javonte, love you, buddy. I'm too Midwestern. I couldn't do that. I'm too Midwestern.
Why?
We are taught you don't show up to anyone's home without a gift. You never want to do something that could potentially be out of bounds. At least that's the way I was brought up. And I wouldn't know. If people, like, I love what you did. I love the boldness of it. I would be like, oh, my God, are they going to think that I'm overstepping? Are they going to think this is rude? I'm too in my head about it.
Yeah, I don't care about the respectability of it all. I'm going to take full advantage of those opportunities all the time. So if you invite me to a dinner and it's on your dime, I'm ordering the most expensive bottle of wine on the menu. I'm ordering the biggest steak. I want caviar. I want all of that stuff.
But if your wife is not there, you're going to get a second meal for her?
I'm going to tell you guys I'm getting a second meal for work, but what it really is lunch for me the next day. That's what's going down.
So I can't take you out to dinner until my next contract is
okay,
what we're talking
about.
Okay,
so that's about. What it is. There you go.
Oh, wow.
But you make outstanding reservations, though.
No,
I appreciate
that. Yeah, I got your back on the reservation. I got to hook Evan up. Now that I've gotten Chris Canty a reservation somewhere, I need to hook Evan up.
Well, I'm going
to
bring Javonte so I can have a meal the next day, too. Add on SportsLike on Twitter, at UpCo Radio, at ChrisCanty99, at M Smallman. If you want to tweet at us, 888-SAY-ESPN. Do you order the most expensive thing at a company dinner? / a second item. Do you order the most expensive thing at a company dinner? If you know someone else is paying for it, do you order the most expensive thing like CeCe said, or a second meal like Javonte said, and Michelle and I are ordering the regular thing. But big news yesterday in the NFL, Travis Kelce, we're getting ready for the opener tomorrow night, of course, the Chiefs and the Lions. Travis Kelce in practice has a hyperextended knee. The line in this game went from 6.5 to 5. So the Chiefs were favored by 6.5 against the Lions, now only favored by 5. CeCe, what does this mean? Hyperextended knee. ACL is intact per all reports. What does this mean for Kelce and the Chiefs?
Well, it means that Patrick Mahomes is going to have to play a football game without Kelce on the field for the first time in 5 years. I mean, he's only played in one game with Travis Kelce not on the field, and that was a throwaway game for the Chiefs week 17 in 2017. So, I mean, go figure. Like, this is going to be a huge deal for the Kansas City Chiefs, knowing that we're 2 days before kickoff trying to adjust the game plan and navigate around not having number 87 in the lineup. And just for context, to let you know how good Travis Kelce is, when Travis Kelce is on the field, that means when he's not substituted out, Patrick Mahomes' QBR is 79 and his average air yards is 8 yards per attempt. When Travis Kelce is off the field, Patrick Mahomes' total QBR drops down to 65, and his average air yards is 6.1 yards per attempt. People don't realize this, but Travis Kelce leads all wide receivers and tight ends in yards after catch since 2018. Think about that. All wide receivers and tight ends. So more than Cooper Kupp, more than Tyreek Hill, more than Davante Adams, more than any other receiver you want to throw out there, Travis Kelce is that dude. So not having him makes it easier for the Detroit Lions defense to game plan around him and makes it tougher for Patrick Mahomes to have the level of productivity we've seen him have in the passing game, especially last year when he won the MVP.
Travis Kelce is so durable. I didn't realize that he's only missed 3 games since 2014. You just expect him out there. You expect the production. But when something like this happens and you're going through the numbers, 3 games he's missed since 2014 at the position he plays, that's remarkable.
Yeah, and he is awesome at what he does. And you said he leads everybody in yards after catch, right, in terms of all these different players, and yet he plays a position that is not known for that. Mm-hmm. He plays a position at the tight end position that is just not known for that. And this is such an interesting thing because there's been so much buzz about the Lions, and I think it really stems from Hard Knocks last year into their actual performance. Dan Campbell, CC called on our show yesterday. Go back on the ESPN app and listen to our podcast if you missed any of it. CC called him yesterday the coolest coach in the league. You played with him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's an argument that maybe this is too much on the Lions right now. Like, they're still playing the Chiefs. Mahomes is still playing. Are we overhyping the Lions a little bit for the Lions to shrink like this? And I get no Chris Jones and maybe no Kelce. I get all of that. It's still the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. But over the last 2 years, the Kansas City Chiefs have had 3 losses out of 6 games in the month of September. So it's not as if the Chiefs can't get got early. Now, I get it. Pat Mahomes in the season opener is money, 18 touchdowns to no interceptions. But that's with Travis Kelce on the field.
Yeah.
That's with his full complement of weapons. This is not the case. And when you look at the Chiefs' wide receivers, their level of productivity coming into this season, their career numbers for the wide receiving core, 30th. They rank 30th in receptions. They rank 30th in receiving yards. They rank 30th in receiving touchdowns. So he doesn't have anybody else that's proven out there on that football field with him. Now, can Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney step up? I guess so. I mean, you have to lean on the ingenuity of Andy Reid. But remember, there's no Eric Bieniemy there, too. So you wonder how that dynamic is going to factor into what we see from Patrick Mahomes and company tomorrow night at kickoff. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you look at it, not having number 87, a guy that can dictate front and coverage, is going to make it that much harder for Pat Mahomes to be able to keep his streak of winning season openers 5 in a row. It's going to make it hard to keep that alive.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because we've talked so much about Travis Kelce's injury so far this morning and Chris Jones obviously not being there. But the Eric Bieniemy factor is interesting to me, because we know so much of it is Andy Reid. But what is this offense going to look like without Eric Bieniemy? That's a big loss for somebody that had been so successful in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same concepts. And Mahomes and Reid have a really good rapport. But again, from a logistics standpoint, there's going to be some new learning. I mean, Eric Bieniemy is there. He's been a play caller at times in Kansas City. I know Big Red has also done it. So just that adjustment, but then not having Travis Kelce on the field, a guy that's the ultimate chess piece, a player that you can have in line at the tight end spot. You can put him out slot. You can put him out wide. He can do a lot of different things, but he cleans up the picture for Pat Mahomes in terms of what coverages the defense is playing, and he opens up opportunities for others because defenses have to double cover him, they have to bracket him. That's not going to be the case tomorrow night. So what does that ultimately end up looking like? And when you have the pass rushers that the Detroit Lions have with Aiden Hutchinson and Houston out there, like, what are you going to ultimately end up doing? Pat Mahomes is probably going to have a little more time because he doesn't know those receivers as well. He's not more as comfortable with those receivers as he is with Travis Kelce. So how does that end up factoring into their overall operation and their productivity in the passing game?
Can we also shout out Chris Berman, legend at ESPN, because one of the greatest nicknames ever that Chris Berman ever came up with was Eric sleeping with Bieniemy. I just want to put that out there. Like, every time I hear Eric Bieniemy, the great coach, obviously he's with Washington now as their offensive coordinator, maybe their future head coach, just throwing that out there, wouldn't surprise me at all. But he's not with Kansas City anymore, and every time I hear his name, Eric's sleeping with Bieniemy. Berman's had so many great nicknames, that may be the top one. So now Kansas City, maybe without Kelce and Chris Jones. Which one is a more important loss? We will get to that coming up. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I feel like you have to have the money gun in the studio when this song is playing, right?
I was going to say, are we doing it?
Like, right? It's just like, I don't, like, this is kind of played out a little bit. I feel like you have to have the money gun just spraying money all over the place.
Not if you're Javonte. He just takes other people's money gun. That's wow. What he did at the dinner last wow. night. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. With you, of course, you can watch us on ESPN2 and ESPNU, listen on SiriusXM Channel 80 and all of our great stations across the country, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Poll question is up at Evco Radio, at Unsportslike. When going out for dinner on the company's dime, do you order the most expensive item or your normal order? As Javonte, one of our great producers here, ordered a second meal last night on the company's dime, and Nuno, the man in charge of this whole show, literally just told us behind the scenes in the break that Jerry, our TV producer, who's wonderful, brings Ziploc bags to the company picnic and takes food to go.
I believe he said ribs to go.
Ribs in a Ziploc bag is what Jerry does?
Ribs in a Ziploc bag.
Whatever is there gets taken.
I don't know about that one. The company picnic?
Oh, now you have a problem.
No, it's the company picnic. Like, listen, if you're going over to Big Mama's house, she having a cookout, I could get taking a plate to go. That makes sense. As a matter of fact, that's encouraged. But the company picnic, taking a plate to go?
Well, because here's the difference, right? Like, Javonte had to order another plate to go. Where that is, that's out there, right? Because they're catering all that stuff. So that's there. So I think maybe that's might be the reasoning that, like, you're not going up and be like, yo, can I get another rack to go?
Right?
Like, it's there. You're putting that on the plate already, so.
Let me get a couple foil pans and throw this slab of ribs in there? I don't know how that. How do you do that?
How did this turn on Jerry? This is an amazing thing. Javonte doing what he did. Nuno throws Jerry under the bus for Javonte doing what he did, which is a remarkable heel turn by Nuno throughout this entire process. All right, so we've been talking a ton about the Travis Kelce injury. Likely not going to play on Thursday night, but who knows with the way that guy perseveres. But let's play out a hypothetical right now. So the Chiefs are without Kelce, most likely, and without Chris Jones, their stud defensive lineman, who is basically in a holdout right now. If I said to you guys right now, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback in his prime, like the Chiefs do, okay, we have an empty roster but that person, and I will give you either the best tight end in the league or the best defensive lineman in the league, blind test, basically, which one you taking?
I'm taking the guy that doesn't need anybody else to affect the game. I'm taking the defensive lineman, the pass rusher. Give me that guy. Because not only is he going to be disruptive in the run game, but he's also going to have an opportunity to knock down the quarterback. And I think when you start looking at how NFL teams value positions, the closer you are to the quarterback, the more valuable you are. That's why left tackles get paid what they get paid. That's why defensive linemen get paid what they get paid. And the great part about a defensive lineman is he can put his hand in the dirt. He doesn't need the defensive coordinator to dial up a certain scheme. He can just go hunt the quarterback. And I think that's the value in having somebody like Chris Jones on the field, somebody that can be that disruptive, somebody that they can move up and down the line of scrimmage. Doesn't matter if he's playing defensive end. Doesn't matter if he's playing defensive tackle. He can be effective in rushing the quarterback from both positions. And when you consider the Kansas City Chiefs defense from a personnel standpoint, they don't have anybody else that opposing offensive coordinators have to circle and game plan for. Like that, so to me, it would be the pass rusher. Of course, that's self-aggrandizing because that's what I played when I was in the National Football League. But I'll take the guy that goes hunt the quarterback over the guy.
Wait a
minute!
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt. Smalls just fell again. What is happening to you over there? She just
this
fell.
This wasn't even my fault.
Wow.
If you're watching on ESPN2 or ESPNU,
I wonder if they caught it on the cameras.
She literally is just dropping underneath the microphone right now. CeCe, I didn't mean to interrupt that take.
No, you're good.
But she's
you're
falling.
Good.
This is. I warned you guys. These are the things you're going to need to learn about me.
So we have to Michelle-proof the studio.
Unbelievable.
The shot on
the TV side right now, Chris is a big guy as it is, but Michelle looks so tiny compared to Chris. She just fell. Are you okay?
No, it's the arm of the chair, and I think it's broken, which is fine. But so the problem was yesterday, they wanted me to sit up higher to match Chris as much as I can, but my feet couldn't touch the ground.
True story.
So I kept, my chair would kind of wobble back because I couldn't scoot up. So then I tried to move it down a little lower, but now I'm getting blocked by the microphone and I look like I'm your little cousin. So I don't really know what the
answer
is.
Shot on TV. Seriously, you got to take a look at this. ESPN2, ESPNU, the ESPN app. If you could watch this, Michelle underneath the desk at this point right now. Oh, my God. Tight end or defensive lineman? You have the best at one, Michelle. Who are you taking?
So my initial thought was... with the way that we have such a, you know, a heavy offense in the NFL now, it's a pass heavy offense, to have a guy that can block and catch is so valuable. But with your caveat that it's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Hall of Fame quarterback, yes.
I know that that guy's a force multiplier and that he's going to elevate those around him. He's going to make those people, when my amazing tight end is out, he's going to make the person that steps in better. So I'm going with the guy on the defensive side of the ball that can disrupt things.
And I think it's a good catch on the Hall of Fame thing. I shouldn't have said it that way. It actually throws off the argument. So bad job by me. But I'm going tight end every day of the week, because if you look at I think tight end is one of the most underrated positions in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think the two most underrated positions in the tight end in the NFL are an elite tight end and an elite kicker. I know that may sound crazy, but if you have an elite kicker, it shortens the field. It's Mariano Rivera for the Yankees. They played 8 innings. Most teams played 9. If you have Justin Tucker, you're playing for 70 yards, not 100.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I look at it. But the elite tight end can block, as Michelle said, and receive. And if you look at the best of the best, Kelsey's won multiple Super Bowls. Gronk's won multiple Super Bowls. Kittle's won a ton in this league. I think that position is so valuable that when you look at it and you have a blind test of which one would you rather have, give me that great tight end. Because you could say somebody that impacts the quarterback's play negatively as a defensive lineman, like your job when you were with the Giants, you guys disrupted so many quarterbacks.
Won Super Bowls doing that.
Yeah. Yes, I understand. Yeah, I mean,
against
great.
Against your team, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that took a twist. Let's take that knife and dig it in there a little bit.
It's okay. I think you've had other success, Evan.
Yeah.
I think it's okay. Yeah.
So I just look at it and I say, that is the quarterback's best friend. The tight end is the quarterback's best friend. That's the best safety valve. If you have a great tight end and you have a great quarterback, then I think your offense is going to be lethal. And I'll go one step further. I think the tight end is infinitely more valuable than the wide receiver.
Wow.
Really?
Infinitely more valuable.
Help me out with this one. Where is
although we
value?
Did see Harry Douglas last night, and he looked good.
Where's the difference in value? Like, I'm trying to figure out.
Well, because one guy blocks and the other guy doesn't.
Do tight ends block?
Did you watch Gronk against the Rams in the second Super Bowl?
Okay, you brought up one tight end. One tight end.
Okay.
Travis Kelce is not a trained killer when it comes to blocking.
Right, but Gronk is.
Darren Waller for the New York Giants, not a trained killer when it comes to blocking. That was my former teammate. Most tight ends in the NFL these days, they're not good inline blockers, especially the elite pass catchers. That's not where they're drafted. They're drafted to be mismatches against linebackers and safeties. Their athleticism makes them a tough cover for linebackers. Their size makes them a tough cover for safeties. But those guys ain't blocking defensive ends. These are not throwback tight ends like Rob Gronkowski or like the Shannon Sharps of the world or Ozzie Newsome if you want to go all the way back in the day. Those tight ends today don't do that. So that's the part that I don't understand. And when we come to the conversation between wide receivers, I would argue that the wide receiver that's elite, like the Devontae Adams, like the Justin Jefferson, never won. That they will pull other players outside of the box, out of the line, out of proximity from the line of scrimmage, because you have to have double coverage on those dudes. So it makes it like it's an extra blocker that you have, because they have less defenders that they have in proximity to the line of scrimmage in order for them to run the football. So to me, the elite wide receiver is better than the elite tight end. And the pay scale in the NFL tells the story.
We'll continue this conversation, but we will get into this because I vehemently disagree on this one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, SiriusXM Channel 80, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, ESPN app, ESPN2, ESPNU. For those watching on the TV side, on ESPN2, ESPNU, we have to take a look at something. We'll do our best on the play-by-play side. I will be your play-by-play announcer, Chris Canty, here, as our analyst. Chris and I together have over 80 years of sitting in chairs. That is our qualification for this broadcast, because Michelle Smallman, who you just heard, giving the great Sports Center, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, just a true professional, elegant as we described her yesterday. Well, moments ago, let's take a look at what happened. I will do my best on the play-by-play side as Michelle fell during the course of the show. As she leans back, she's trying to lean back again, a second lean back, and wait a minute, she's trying to adjust her chair, a third lean back. She just keeps falling up and down in the chair. She's like bouncing up and down. She's got her red St. Louis, old school St. Louis Cardinals football jersey
that's
on
right,
today.
That's right.
And she cannot figure out how to maneuver the chair. Let's go over to our analyst, Chris Canty, with more. Chris,
yeah,
what did you see
Evan,
there?
With all of that leading back, you would think that Michelle Smallman is a member of the terror squad with Fat
Joe.
Joe. Yeah, but I mean, clearly an equipment malfunction, and I can't put that on Smallman, but it's a great job by her being able to rally, being able to recover.
Yes.
And still be a professional.
Wow. All right, down to the sidelines. Here's Evan Cohen with more with Michelle Smallman. Smalls, obviously a tough first half there with the chair. What did you see out there with your chair?
Well, first of all, Evan, it wasn't a tough situation. If you're actually watching the video, I'm just too strong. You saw me in the gym yesterday. Clearly, I worked out a little too hard.
Wow.
And I pushed down on the arm of the chair, and I just busted it.
Very intimidating, by the way,
right.
Working out at the same time.
Very
it's
much
small.
So. Yeah, exactly.
She's a beast in there, and I tried to wait it out. She
Not
said she
really.
Was going to work out. I was like, all right, maybe I'll wait it out so I won't be there when she's there. I was like, I get there, and I'm like, oh, this is a disaster, because then I can't walk out.
Yeah, so you embarrassed yourself in front of your new teammate.
100%.
Now it makes it hard for
100%.
You to look
at her.
He
says I was a beast in there, CeCe. I was walking on the treadmill.
You're walking on
the
treadmill?
I was doing the 13.
But the incline, she had that 3.5% incline.
Oh,
that's what
13,
it was.
13. 13.
Oh, wow.
See?
Wow.
See?
Now, wow.
CeCe played a decade in the league, and he's
right.
now nervous
yeah,
around
let me
you.
Tell you what I ain't going to do, Smalls.
It's called 13-330. It's a TikTok trend. It's called 13-330. You walk at a 13 incline, 3 speed, 30 minutes. It's supposed to burn a ton of calories.
Well, bless your entire heart. That's something that I will never know nothing about.
I felt bad also, badly, because I was like talking to her. I shouldn't be doing this. Like, I should let her be. And I'm like, hey, how's everything going? I'm like right in on the
Are you one of those people that
I'm normally
to talk
not.
When you're at the
I'm
gym?
Normally not.
So this
but
was the nervous
case.
Energy because you didn't want to embarrass yourself in front of Smalls?
You nailed it.
Okay.
You nailed it.
And
I
meanwhile,
didn't know how to act.
I'm sweating. I'm out of breath.
I'm very confused. What am I supposed to do here? How do I act in this spot? We're just getting to know each other.
Wow.
It's really an unfortunate moment for me. I was very, very confused as to how to act yesterday. Kind of like you are on the tight end wide receiver debate.
Wow. Yesterday. Here we go.
Okay.
Man,
so
about as subtle as a gunshot
he's
with this guy.
On me, he's picking
right?
on you. We see how it is.
Bring it. I'm ready for it. I know what's coming. So when you think about tight ends and defensive linemen, that's where this conversation started, because the Chiefs are probably going to be without two studs. Like, there's no debating whether or not Kelce and Chris Jones
They're
are awesome.
They're the second and third best players on the team.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
who's second? Who's
yeah.
third?
Ah, that's a great question. I would say that Travis Kelce is second.
So you're putting the tight end above the defensive lineman.
I would say that in this instance, Travis Kelce is second.
So that stems into the debate about tight ends versus wide receivers. And I've made the claim that I think the great tight end is more valuable. And I'm saying I'll go off of what you said. The old school guy that can block and catch, mm-hmm. which your point, your counter is fair. find those for me, right? Yeah. And I understand that. So maybe I'm warped by the Gronk success in New England and Tampa. But I think the old school great tight end is more valuable than the wide receiver. I think the wide receiver is more replaceable. And we see teams with great quarterbacks. Kansas City did it with Mahomes, obviously, and then letting Tyreek Hill go. The Packers did it with Rodgers, letting Davante Adams go. We've seen great teams let go of wide receivers. Great teams usually hold on to tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, how many great tight ends are we talking about, though? I mean, you usually see a glut of wide receiver talent in the National Football League. Like, if you're a kid growing up, you want to play the wide receiver position. You attract the best athletes. And when you think about the evolution of these young quarterbacks, what do all of these teams go out and do? They go out and get them a dominant number one wide receiver. We didn't see Jalen Hurts ascend to an MVP level until he got A.J. Brown, right?
Yeah, look what Chicago's doing.
Look at what Chicago's doing with D.J. Moore. Like, you see that teams make that effort to focus on getting a number one wide receiver just because that guy dictates the front and the coverage. He's going to make sure that there's a safety over top, which means light boxes, which means also opportunities for the other players in the skill position core. I don't know that a tight end can affect the game in that same way and still be the plus that you're talking about when it comes to being an inline blocker. I just don't see that. I think that when you start breaking down the math of it all, I think a dominant number one wide receiver gives you a better advantage from a numbers standpoint at the line of scrimmage with the defenders in proximity as opposed to having a dominant tight end that can also be a run blocker.
Give me your top three wide receivers in the league, just off the top of your
head. Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, and Justin Jefferson.
Okay. So on the current teams they're on, none of them have won. On the previous team, Tyreek Hill won. Tyreek Hill left his previous team or was traded, and they still won without him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no direct impact, in my opinion, to the success of the wide receiver impacting wins. Not like the success of the tight end. There's no direct impact. It's just not there. Stephon Diggs, a big-time wide receiver. They have not won, right?
I mean, Cooper Kupp was Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago.
Okay, good counter. Absolutely a good counter, right? Which also is interesting because then you think about why, right? Why was Cooper Kupp MVP? Why did Aaron Donald get crowned, rightfully so, the best defensive player in the league? They upgraded a quarterback. It all stems back to the quarterback to me. Like, once they got Matthew Stafford, and he was as good as he was that year, everything could be unlocked as a result of that. That I just think that the wide receiver position is way more replaceable than the tight end position. I'm standing on that.
Okay, so
how many Super Bowl MVPs have we seen at the tight end position? I mean, listen, Julian Edelman won Super Bowl MVP.
Yep.
And this was in 2018.
Yep.
I love Julian Edelman. Absolutely love him. They also won without Julian Edelman.
Okay, so that's fair. But I'm just saying, did Rob Gronkowski win Super Bowl MVP?
And they won without Gronk, to be fair, too.
Okay. But I'm sitting there asking.
But I just think that when you think about today, if I said to you you could have Travis Kelce or Justin Jefferson.
Ooh, but see, Travis Kelce is just such an aberration. He's arguably the greatest tight end of all time. Shannon Sharpe called him the greatest tight end of all time. And Shannon Sharpe wears a gold jacket.
That's right.
So I don't know that that's an apples to apples when we start talking about Travis Kelce in comparison to the wide receivers that are out there right now.
I have a pink jacket, and I call Gronk the greatest tight end of all time.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to point that out. Yeah, okay. I've got a nice pink jacket.
As a Patriots fan, we would expect nothing less.
Well, Gronk,
such a homer,
no,
man.
Because of what CC said, the blocking matters.
The blocking does matter.
Because a guy like him that could destroy one guy, it's harder to destroy two guys, right? And if you have Gronk or any elite blocking tight end historically next to a good tackle, it is much harder for CeCe to get to the quarterback. It just is.
Yeah, and that was the game that the Patriots played throughout the course of their dynasty with their tight ends. They would have a guy like Rob Gronkowski, who could be a trained killer when it comes to being an inline blocker, go out there with three wide receivers, one tight end and one running back. If a team countered with nickel, all Bill Belichick would do was run the football because he knew he had an advantage with Rob Gronkowski blocking a nickel or blocking a safety. But you don't have a lot of those guys that are out there right now.
So, in essence, we're not actually disagreeing because your counter is more, if I saw more guys like Gronk today, you may have an argument.
Yes.
It's that you don't have,
I mean, the guys that you're talking about that are good inline blockers that are also really good pass catchers, TJ Hockenson, who just got the bag in Minnesota, George Kittle, we know that dude is an animal. I mean, Dallas Goedert, Mark Andrews to a lesser degree, but that's it. That's the list.
I'm okay with
that.
You
got four or five guys. How many dominant wide receivers do we have in the National Football League?
But their teams don't necessarily win. Chris, look at it.
Their quarterbacks play a lot better when they're on the field.
And I think they'd be even more valuable if they had that elite dual threat tight end, like you just said. I'm okay. I'm okay with where we landed on this because you're not saying that the tight end concept is wrong. You're saying we are missing guys in the league today like Gronk,
yes,
who block and can be pass catchers.
Yes.
But doesn't that put more value on them because of the rarity?
Well, tell NFL GMs that because the contracts don't reflect that.
I mean, that's true.
The top paid tight end makes $17 million a year. The top paid wide receiver makes $30.
Yeah.
So you tell me. That's NFL GMs that are saying this position more value.
You're right. Yeah. And I don't agree with them. Coming up, could there be an influx of khaki pants in Cleveland, Ohio? We will get to that next on Unsportsmanlike.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Chris Canty, Super Bowl champion. Michelle Smallman. Me, Evan Cohen. Presented by Progressive Insurance. So many of our great stations all across the country that carry our show. First of all, thank you for doing so. We look forward to getting to know all of you out there. Do so many great things, including ESPN Cleveland, 850 ESPN Cleveland. When we handed off to them the really big show with Tony Rizzo and Aaron Goldhammer and Chris Oldak, they take it at 9 a.m. Eastern time in Cleveland. And yesterday, on their show, on the really big show, Tony Rizzo, who has been around Cleveland forever, one of the great guys and great hosts in America, came back from his vacation and had a little nugget to pass along about the Cleveland Browns and college football all tied in one. And, of course, it revolves around a man who wears khaki pants a lot. Let's take a listen.
Harbaugh's not happy with this suspension, and there's people who think he's just about had enough of college football. Well, if you connect the dots, which I don't want to do because I want Coach Stefanski to succeed, I'm already hearing rumblings about him coming to the Browns. There's already people putting together, connecting dots that if—and Stefanski's on the hot seat. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. If the Browns go 7-10, Coach won't be here next year. He knows that. If, God forbid— something should happen and the Browns don't win, Stefanski probably wouldn't make it. Who are you going to replace him with? The list has to be made.
So Riz is not reporting that it's going to happen. What Riz is saying is he's hearing rumblings that if it goes wrong, then that's a guy that they could bring in. Which yesterday we sat here, and people can go back on the ESPN app and listen to the podcast from Unsportsmanlike yesterday. We said, hey, Stefanski, if they don't click, is on the hot seat. I like the concept of Harbaugh back in the NFL. This is a guy that had insane success in the NFL. I don't think that's a crazy thought at all.
Well, that was a decade ago, though. And you have to wonder, how does Harbaugh's shtick play with Gen Z athletes? Is he going to be able to have a message that resonates with this generation of NFL players? And I'm a little bit skeptical on that end. And so I don't know that the Harbaugh fit is exactly what you need, especially with a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. A big part of the job description for a head coach is having a good relationship with your quarterback. I don't know how that would all work out. But make no mistake about it, when we last saw Harbaugh in the NFL, and hell, even with Stanford and Michigan, this guy turns around programs. So a curious fit, but I think Harbaugh is one of those names that's more attractive to ownership than it is for fan bases or current NFL players.
Would you want to play for him?
No, I wouldn't want to play for Harbaugh.
Why?
Because I've been around Harbs, and I don't necessarily know that the personality would be a fit for the kind of player I was. And I don't think his personality would play well in an NFL locker room. Now, he's a guy that's a czar when he comes in. He wants to have full control. I stopped short of calling him a dictator, but it's going along those lines. And so I don't know if that's the way to relate to current NFL players, which is why I would be skeptical about him making the leap and going back to the NFL.
He's had success everywhere he's gone.
Sure.
And he's gone from college to the pros and had success. And what you just described about him being a czar, about his approach, the first thing that popped into my mind is Bill Belichick. And everybody fell in line with Belichick.
That was 20 years ago. And he had Tom Brady. And he undressed Tom Brady. And because he could do that with everybody else. And they were winning championships. I don't know that Bill Parcells approach, that Bill Belichick approach, works with today's athlete. I just don't know. And we're seeing coaches pivot in terms of their personality. Kyle Shanahan don't roll like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Some of the Sean McVay don't roll like that. Some of the best and brightest young minds in the game don't approach their relationships with players the way that we've seen Jim Harbaugh do and some of the great coaches from yesteryear. So, again, it's a more wait and see. It's a working theory. But I just don't believe that style plays well when you start talking about grown men. You can still get away with it in college because college coaches have a lot more control than NFL coaches. But I just don't see Jim Harbaugh being the right fit if the Kevin Stefanski tenure doesn't work out with Cleveland.
Yeah, and by the way, to be fair, we took 30 seconds of that clip. Rizzo and Goldhammer and Oldak went on ESPN Cleveland, our great station that we are on in the mornings. They went on a whole thing. They're all rooting for Stefanski. They're rooting for Deshaun Watson on the field to kick butt. Like, Cleveland's in on this team. Like, there is a thought that maybe they could be a sneaky Super Bowl contender. They're that good. But because of that, it means the flip side also is then true of the concept of, well, you better be good or else. I think we kind of, and I understand what you're saying, CeCe, the idea of, well, I mean, you know, it was a long time ago with Harbaugh. It wasn't just recently with Harbaugh, but his NFL success is phenomenal. I mean, he coached 4 years in the league, three of those years NFC championship games, and one of them a Super Bowl. By the way, when you say, I'm going to stop short of calling someone a dictator, isn't that actually calling them a dictator? Did you actually say, that's like, hey, I stopped short, but I hit the car in front of me. Still hit the car in front of you, CeCe.
Yeah, what is he, dictator adjacent?
Yeah, dictator adjacent. Okay. I'm trying to create a soft place to land.
You didn't do it.
I don't want to disparage the man. I appreciate what he does, his football acumen, his ability to coach. I'm just saying I wouldn't want to play for him. And
which is so interesting because you played for Al Groh in college. You played for Parcells, right?
Yes.
And so you, more than anyone.
I was also born in 1982.
Right.
So it's a different generation. I'm a millennial. I'm an older millennial. You're talking about young millennials and Gen Z players. I don't think they buy into that brand of barking at players in order to get jobs done. Guys want to be seen as partners more so now than ever before. And I don't think Jim Harbaugh rolls like that, which is why I don't think he would be a great fit in the NFL today.
So if I gave you a blank NFL franchise, an expansion team right now, you could hire one college coach as your head coach. You're hiring Dion or Harbaugh?
I'm hiring Lincoln.
I'm probably
Riley.
Lincoln Riley. Yeah, because Lincoln Riley is the quarterback whisperer.
Correct.
That dude.
Wow, you both went somewhere. I didn't even give you the option. That's interesting.
Listen, how many number one picks has Lincoln Riley turned out at the quarterback spot? I mean, Caleb Williams is going to be a number one pick. Kyler Murray was a number one pick. Baker Mayfield was a number one pick. Like, he just churns out number one picks at the quarterback spot, and that just so happens to be the most important position in all of team sports. How could you not say Lincoln
Riley?
So if
Riley? I made you choose Harbaugh or Dion, who would you choose, though?
Dion. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Actually, I would choose Harbaugh because he's had success. Well, I know Dion played, but 44-19-1. Harbaugh's been good.
All right, coming up. Can you become a billionaire by doing math? Maybe some have. Others have not. We'll explain what that means and as it regards the Cowboys next.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.